You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control.
The advertising catchphrase for Shalimar Paints is Rang Desh Ka, and for a good reason too, but more about that later. A recent report on the Economic Times said that the company, older than the Republic of India, is exploring various fundraising opportunities, including investment from third parties or strategic investors, to improve its performance. This move comes in the wake of financial difficulty post major fires at Shalimar's Nashik and Howrah plants, and Surinder Bhatia, managing director Shalimar Paints, is optimistic of turning things around despite the company posting a net loss for the sixth straight quarter. My name is Rakesh, and on the Business of Family series that we're running here on Digging Deeper with Money Control, we will talk about Shalimar Paints, a company that for more than 100 years after its inception continues to evaluate its place in shifting business scenarios and also explore various fundraising and course-correcting opportunities. As for the Rang Desh Ka tagline, no other paint company can claim it, because without Shalimar Paints, the walls of the Rashtrapati Bhavan and the Parliament House in New Delhi, Salt Lake Stadium, All India Institute of Medical Sciences, and the magnificence of Howrah Bridge in Kolkata would remain bereft of their distinct character. I know, the Royal Palace in Nepal is also adorned in the colours of Shalimar. Let's find out all the various colours of the journey that Shalimar Paint has taken.
Different strokes on a new colour palette. The Shalimar Paint story.
The prestigious responsibility of painting the Rashtrapati Bhavan fell upon Shalimar when President V.V. Giri chose this paint over its competitors. The company has also had an uninterrupted track record of painting the Howrah Bridge since 1948-1949. The bridge is painted every 8 or 10 years, and it takes almost a month and a half to finish painting the aluminium pillars of the bridge. Post the 90s, Shalimar Paints foresaw changes in a fast-growing market, and according to a 2003 report in the Financial Express, it began to set an agenda to put a new professional core management team at its helm and to stake its claim upon what was then a 5,500 crore rupee paint market in India. The emphasis, according to the piece, was to be on a stronger supply chain management, quality control, efficient service standards, a wider array of products, and strategically located manufacturing plants in all four corners of the country. The company was hoping to capitalize on the decorative segment and exponential growth in rural and semi-urban markets. An outreach program with painters meeting in rural areas to drive sales and spread information was also on the anvil. And in keeping with its credo of Desh Ka Apna Wala Paint, Shalimar was also counting on its road marking paints business to grow with a spurt in the country's expressway and highway projects. Shalimar then was the sole maker of road marking paints in the organized sector, having perfected the road paints technology capable of drying paint in just 5 minutes. According to the Financial Express report, Shalimar had also forayed into manufacturing automotive paints in the late 1970s and early 1980s and had been the sole paint supplier for Rover cars sold in India. And it also had a tie-up with the iconic Standard Herald. But over time, it became increasingly hard to compete with players like Goodless Nerolac, Asian Paints and Berger Paints and more. Even as the company tried to reclaim its space in this segment, it hoped that the decorative paints business would drive its growth. In keeping with more evolved colour palettes, Shalimar had also begun to offer a colour tinting service called ColourSpace via a state-of-the-art machine computerised to mix and match imported colourants with high-quality bases. Before I tell you how all of these plans panned out, let us go back in time a bit and narrate the story of the birth of Shalimar Paints. It is ironical, of course, that the paint of Indian aspirations was not idealized by an Indian family empire. So yes, this deep dive is not about an Indian business clan, as much as it is about a brand that is now part of the great Indian family of painters, dealers, consumers, and contractors. In 1902, two British entrepreneurs, A.N. Turner and A.C. Wright, ideated and set up Shalimar Paints Colour and Varnish Limited right on the banks of the River Hooghly, near the Botanical Gardens. It was the first paint manufacturing plant in Southeast Asia. This move demanded some amount of pluck, as there were no raw material suppliers or distributors at the time. Still, for over a decade, Shalimar remained a solo Indian player and continued to thrive despite two world wars and the entry of other foreign players like Elephant Oil Mills, Goodlass Wall, British Paints and Jensen & Nicholson and many more. With time, multinationals began to show interest in buying the company. In 1928, the ownership changed hands and went to Pynchon Johnson & Associates of the UK, who bought the company and assimilated it into their marine division called the Rod Hand Composition Company. In 1963, management control of Shalimar went to Turner Morrison & Company. The company was then given the name it is known by today, Shalimar Paints Limited. By this time, the company had begun to dominate the industrial paints segment, especially in marine paints, aviation coatings, and large-scale painting of thermal power plants. In 1964, another shift happened when Shalimar became a part of the Cotorals group of the United States with a 40% holding, while another 20% was held by the Mehtas of Jardine Henderson. Foreign ownership of Shalimar was diluted in the 70s when the Foreign Exchange Regulations Act, or FERA, was passed and commanded that foreign companies could only be minority shareholders in Indian firms. Because of this move, many foreign firms like IBM and Coca-Cola shut down their India operations, and Shalimar too was at the crossroads. Shalimar then tapped the capital market, and the foreign holding in the company was reduced to 60%. It was during this period that many competitors zoomed ahead. During the years spanning between 1985 and 1990, the Cotorals equity shares were sold to S.S. Jhunjhunwala of Hong Kong's Delta Nominees, and O.P. Jindal of the Jindal Group bought out the 20% stake from the Mehtas of Jardine Henderson. An interesting piece of trivia related to the ownership of O.P. Jindal Group is that once the Shalimar lunch served by the company was fit enough for kings, with 11 sumptuous courses complete with drinks and desserts. In 1972, Shalimar went public, and in 1989, the company was acquired by the O.P. Jindal Group and the Hong Kong-based S.S. Jhunjhunwala Group. From May 2015, the company is being managed by Mr. Surendra Bhatia as a whole-time director. Over the years, companies like the Kansai Nerolac, US-based Sherwin-Williams, and even Asian Paints have eyed Shalimar Paints for a buyout. As I said before, the company began to think forward in terms of new strategies in 2003. By then, Shalimar had already set up its first plant outside Kolkata in 1992 at Nashik, Maharashtra. Then, in 2003, it acquired a plant in Secunderabad, near Delhi. In 2008, it entered into technical collaboration with KCI Korea for pre-coated metal coatings. In 2013, 5 years ago, Shalimar Paints began what it called a journey of strategic transformation to aim at the top spot in the decorative paints segment. The company has figured decisively that today it is key to become more consumer-centric and to offer more options by growing its decorative paint options. Shalimar Paints today is present in over 2,000 cities and towns of India through a network of more than 8,000 dealers. The company has 3 manufacturing units in Howrah, West Bengal, Nashik, Maharashtra, and Secunderabad in Uttar Pradesh, and a new plant is coming up in Gumidipundi near Chennai, Tamil Nadu. It has 2 R&D centers in Howrah and Nashik, focusing on technology, product, and process innovations. The company has a continuously expanding range of products in decorative paints and industrial coatings in both interior and exterior paints. The company's fortunes saw a resurgence in the early 2000s when the sector housing and infrastructure projects began to boom. In 2014, Forbes India reported, though, that the company's over-reliance in the past on the industrial market, where margins are low and business lumpy, reduced Shalimar to a shadow of its former self. According to that report, in 2014, in the 5-player paint industry, excluding the regional companies, Shalimar was the smallest. The company, said Forbes, was behind Asian Paints, Berger Paints, Kansai Nerolac, and Akzo Nobel. It closed in 2013 with 483 crore rupees in sales, compared to Asian Paints' 10,418 crore rupees. The Forbes report went on to narrate how, subsequently, board members Ratan Jindal, who runs Jindal Stainless Steel, and Girish Jhunjhunwala hired Sameer Nagpal, former Vice President of Industrial Products Company Ingersoll Rand India, as CEO and Managing Director. The move was in the hope of increasing company profitability and improving valuation for investors. This is also when the company intentionally focused its resources to the more profitable and fast-expanding decorative paint segment. Said Forbes, and I quote, "Instead of pouring money down lost causes, Nagpal started plugging the holes in Shalimar, the biggest of which was poor product quality and lack of brand recall. His initial research threw up many interesting insights, the most important of which was the discovery that it's not always the customer, but the painter who decides what brand to use. Painters care about timely availability and quality. It is their credibility at stake. Simply put, if they run out of paint in the middle of painting a wall, they need a replenishment of the exact shade of paint, otherwise they have to repaint the entire wall. It was here where Shalimar had stumbled. Even though it never stopped manufacturing products such as emulsions, protective coating, and top coats, its quality diminished with each passing year." Unquote. Nagpal also found that in the absence of quality checks and late payments to suppliers, raw material was not up to the mark. He enforced a new quality control policy to ensure that every product was put through new checks and balances. He also noticed issues at the distribution level and, said Forbes, he pushed for the streamlining of depots that earlier worked with no strategic planning. he introduced one more layer in the form of a centralized distribution center to help declutter its depots. And most importantly, he set up a forecasting cell to give the company an idea of how future demand will play out, which would enable factories to take decisions accordingly. Nagpal also had some cleaning up to do on the dealer front. Of Shalimar's 8,000 dealers, 6,000 were doing business worth only 10 lakh rupees or less with them. Such small scale of business leads to zero brand loyalty. To make matters worse, with slow sales velocity, dealers took as many as 90 days to pay Shalimar. Nagpal decided, with his limited resources, to create some pull for the brand among dealers as well as painters. He regained lost ground with painters by holding regular workshops, a common practice among brands like Asian and Nerolac. Dealers were incentivized to recommend Shalimar and were offered better terms of trade if they reached certain targets. This, along with dealer engagement, led to a 34% jump in decorative paints sales for its top 745 club dealers. Unquote. Nagpal also focused on branding and advertising, and Shalimar invested in a 10 crore advertising campaign crafted by Wieden Kennedy, the company that made Nike a household name and has worked with the homegrown Indigo and Forest Essentials. What has held the company in the past through the various shifts in its fortunes was that as an industrial paints company, despite its depressed profitability, it showed consistent top-line and bottom-line growth. Quoting from the piece, from 2002 to 2008, the stock even outperformed Asian Paints on the Bombay Stock Exchange. And in the last 10 years, it has given a compounded annual growth rate, that is CAGR, of 21%. Still, given its margin profile of 2% versus the industry average of 11%, its valuation is a fraction of its peers. So, focusing aggressively on the decorative paints market has to be a well-calculated risk because it involves investment not just in new team leaders but also in the overhaul of the company's IT backend, depots, and tinting machines. In a 2014 interview to The Hindu, Nagpal seemed upbeat, and to quote him, "With focus only on the industrial segment and due to a combination of other factors, we missed the bus on consumer segment, that is, decorative. We are now targeting growth and improvements in profitability to carve out a niche in this segment. We are now changing our strategy from industrial to decorative. We're working on the key success factors for this business. Now we have articulated our positioning as the art and science of paint. Most of the other paint companies are focusing on emotion and color, but we want to focus on paint and its quality. If we are able to successfully communicate the new positioning, our job will be done. So our art and science strategy has two levels. First level is to offer good quality, and second level is to offer value proposition that others don't. Why are we saying this? Because, well, Shalimar was Southeast Asia's first paint company." Unquote. So yes, in a way, the company has come full circle. As it color corrects its course, it looks forward to reaffirming its place not just in history, but in the future. And also, in the process, set an example for how even big companies need to make big shifts in order to stay relevant in the 21st century. Thank you for joining us.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control.